I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few minutes, my thoughts on the slavery apology. It's my Can I Just Tell You commentary. But first, the funk. You might think you feel it, you live it. For Brian Culbertson, it's his partner in a lifelong love affair. And now his new album, Bringing Back the Funk, marries old school 70s with smooth jazz cool. Here to talk about his latest project is Bryant Culbertson. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great now that I'm talking to you.
Excellent.
We're going to come to music in a minute, but I have to talk about the cover for the CD.
Yes.
It's a baby with headphones on looking like he's grooving. Who is that dude?
That would be me. Can you believe that? It was so funny. We started making this record, and my dad was talking to my manager, and he was like telling him that he has this baby photo that my mother took when I was 2 years old, grooving to none other than Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh.
I was like, are you kidding me? So he's like, hey, you gotta use that on the cover. I'm like, okay, cool.
With his own headphones.
That's right. Yeah,
chilling.
The headphones are almost as big as my head. You know, back in the 70s, they were big. So.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Of course, your dad was a musician, right?
Yeah, my dad's a trumpet player, great trumpet player, and a music educator, band director in Illinois. And so I literally grew up with music in the house. I mean, he was playing all the time. And, you know, most of the time I had to kind of yell at him, hey, turn the music down. I'm trying to sleep. Normally it's the opposite. You know, the parents are yelling at the kids, but it was great.
How'd you find your way to smooth jazz?
I mean, you know, I'm not a great singer, so I play piano. You know, what else are you going to do as a solo artist other than, I don't know, I guess there's not much else you can go, you know, except new age or something. And I like the groove, and I think the smooth jazz or contemporary jazz or whatever you call it has a great groove to it, and I just felt like that was the place for me.
Very successful as a jazz artist. I think of this is your 10th CD, and I think
yes.
Eight of them have premiered at number one, if I have that right, on the Billboard, so the jazz charts. So why funk?
Why funk? That is a good question. Well, in a lot of my live shows over the past several years, I've been known to do a lot of really up-tempo, funky stuff, and I haven't done a huge amount of that on records. So I decided, you know, that's the music that I really grew up listening to, that and jazz. So I thought it was time to make a little change in terms of the recordings and do something that was a little more reminiscent of my live shows, the high energy, the fun, the party atmosphere, and it was just time to do it.
We, you know, we argue about what funk actually is on this show. We've been arguing about it because we all have different opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And, so what's yours?
Funk is, to me, it really is the groove and the feeling that you get from it. And the sounds, you know, the drums are tight. The bass is like the slap kind of bass that Larry Graham pioneered. You know, it's the vibe and the energy you get from the music. It's, how do you really explain funk other than
listening
to it?
That's what I'm saying. It's like you know it when you hear it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, that's funk.
That's funk.
That is not funk.
But, and if anybody defines funk, Bootsy Collins, wouldn't you
yes,
say?
Yes, he does.
Wouldn't
yes,
you say?
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. So that's why, you know, we started making this record or I started getting the concept together. And so we put this wish list of guest musicians that were going to be on the record. And the first person I called was Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, my total idol growing up. So once he got on board and was really interested in this idea and the concept, then we started calling everyone else we could.
Well, hold
we
on a
imagine.
Second. What was it like calling, you know, Maurice White? For some people, it's like, forgive me, calling Nelson Mandela.
Right.
You know, were you nervous? Did you know him?
I was
you
know, I had
common?
Met
you
him
like,
a couple times. I had met him a couple times, so we knew each other. So it wasn't like the first time calling him out of the blue, but I was still very nervous just calling him up and asking him, hey, do you want to be involved with this project? And, you know, he said, yes, I'd love to be involved. And I said, hey, even if you come by for one day, that's cool. But he ended up coming by. He was at the studio every day for 3 months with me. And I got to tell you, such an education. And when all the other musicians came into the studio and saw him sitting there, it was like, attention, you know, it was like the general was sitting there. So everyone was brought their A game, and it was just incredible energy in the studio.
Well, we got to play the cut in which we will hear Mr. Collins, yeah, Funkin' Like My Father. Let's play a little bit.
All right.
That's funk.
Mm-hmm.
That's funk.
That would be funk.
That would be funk.
Listen to all the lyrics throughout the whole piece. You'll hear a lot of references to everyone. I think it really sets the tone for the whole album. That's the first cut on the record. So if you listen to that, then everything else kind of just falls in line.
Like, though, when you're working with somebody whom you really admire? I mean, here you are very accomplished in your own right, in your genre, and you know, and everybody, particularly in, if you're a smooth jazz fan, you mm-hmm. know Brian Culbertson. But what's it like when you work with somebody like that who you really admire? Is it hard to kind of settle down? And
well, I think once you get into the studio, everyone's creative juices just start flowing, and you feed off each other. And it's really great to work with the best musicians because it elevates your own game as well. So I always thought you should surround yourself with people that are better than you because it makes you seem better, right? So we just get in there and we, you know, you forget who everyone is and you just try to make some great music.
You're just tuning in, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with smooth jazz artist Brian Culbertson about his new CD, Bringing Back the Funk. And Bootsy Collins isn't the only collaboration on this CD. You've got Gerald Albright, and you also have neo-soul artist Lettucey
and Music Soul Child.
How did that come about, and what were you aiming for with those two?
Well, I met Lettucey many years ago, and I've worked with her several times on various album projects, and I think she's one of the greatest singers out there today. So, yeah, you know, I wanted to bring a couple new school, if you will, faces to this album just to freshen it up and have some variation going on. You know, I have so many old school funk people from Larry Graham to Greg Adams from Tower of Power, guys from Rufus, a bunch of the guys from Earth, Wind & Fire, and so many others. I thought it'd be cool to have a couple younger singers in there.
Okay, let's play a little bit. Let's hear The World Keeps Going Around with Lettucey. Here it is. Tell me about the song. What inspired it?
It's a fairly, it's a song not very well known, written by Bill Withers. It was on his Live at Carnegie Hall record. And the song was actually suggested to me by Lettucey. It was a song she had wanted to sing for a while. And when she first sent me the song, I was listening to it, and the whole first half is very kind of mellow and moody. And I was like, wow, I don't know if this really fits the funk record. But then the whole entire second half goes into this really funky groove that is just hypnotic. And it just keeps going and going and building and building and building. That's when I knew this song could really work on this record. So it marries, you know, the smooth with the funk. And the rhythm section is two other great female drummer and a bass player. The drummer and bass player both have played with Prince. So I think it was cool to have those two and Lettucey on the same song. You know, put a little sensitivity on the first half. Isn't that nice?
Yes, it's very nice. You know, your love for Earth, Wind, and Fire is pretty evident in the in the album, from the cover art where you're grooving at the age of two, to the fact that Maurice White executive produced the album. David Foster wrote After the Love Is Gone. Is there a song on the album that you were aiming for that really captures the Earth, Wind, and Fire sound?
Yeah, I think the first single that has been on jazz radio is called Always Remember, track two. I wrote with Sheldon Reynolds, who is a 15-year alum of Earth, Wind, and Fire. He was with them for the mid-'80s up to 2001. And we got together and tried to write a song that had the kind of just vibe and feel of a classic Earth, Wind, and Fire song. Even though there's not lyrics to it, it's still, once you get to the hook, there's a little vocalese on there, and it really, really just, you know, kind of takes you there. It's a good combination of my sound and their sound.
Oh, I want to break out the bell bottoms.
Ah.
In a good way.
Nice.
The good ones.
Yeah.
The ones that still fit.
So, yeah, we really try to get a lot of different influences in on this record. Later on in that song, there's a horn breakdown that I had Greg Adams write of Tower of Power. I said, hey, write a classic Tower of Power horn breakdown in this section. So we, you know, it's a lot of different funk influences.
In some ways is colorblind, but there's still sort of an undertow of racial dynamics in music. There's this whole question of who's appropriating whose sound, whose creativity. Funk being so rooted in the African American experience, do you ever feel as a white musician you have anything to prove? Do you feel like you ever have to sort of prove your love of it or your genuineness? Do you know what I mean? Do you ever feel there's any hurdle to overcome?
You know, I really haven't felt that. I'm trying to make music that I feel inside of me. And I think if you're true to yourself and put it out there and don't try to, create music just to sell it, I think you're okay. You know, I think a lot of people try to make music that is not necessarily thought of that you should make music just to, get on the charts or this and that, but it really truly is music that I feel inside of me, and if you're true about it, it's cool.
Well, what are you particularly feeling that we should go out on? Do you have a favorite track? I know it's terrible to ask you this, but do you have a favorite track
My
that we should go
child.
Out on?
Yes. I really like the cover of the Tower Power song, You Got to Funkifies.
Mm-mm-mm. You know that's right. You've got to punkify. Okay.
I mean, it's all funky, but that one's especially funky.
Okay. Brian Culbertson joined us from NPR West. His latest album, his 10th, Bringing Back the Funk, is available now. Brian Culbertson, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.